As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Stepping on the beans, the only place to read your emails and your tweets. It's Wednesday, March 3rd. I'm J.E. Skeetson alongside me. We got hashtag full squad. Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Fellow bean eaters.
Hello, bean man. Got the top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And last but not least, making the magic happen is J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team. Joining us once again live on YouTube, please like, comment, and subscribe. Make sure you check out Tass's awesome What You Need to Know mini recap podcast Monday through Friday. That series has been phenomenal. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Download that. Leave him a comment as well. Trey, you dropped your latest masterpiece, 7 Days in the NBA, your fun recap. That went up yesterday on Tuesday, so go check that out as well. And coming up tomorrow night, Thursday already coming up tomorrow, halftime of the Heat Pelicans. Only one game on TNT, so we'll fire up the live stream, the NBA Happy Hour, featuring one of Lee's mates. Which one? We're not going to tell you. Old Eight Toes? Maybe. Plugger? Maybe. Who else am I forgetting?
Trigger.
Trigger, that's
Trig,
it.
Big Trig, yeah.
Could be Big Trig.
I'm waiting for Manos and Tito's.
To also,
that'll be a fun night.
You never know
Manos,
who's going to swing by.
And Tassos.
The NBA Happy Hour, yes. That's right. So, again, that is NBA Happy Hour, our live watch party. More of a hang, really. Having a blast every Thursday night. Again, at halftime of the Heat Pelicans. I think that's a later start tomorrow night. I think it's 8:30 p.m. Eastern start. So we probably won't be live until 9:45, maybe. Ooh, could be closer to
anyway. Manos and Tito's hours. I love it.
Okay, so we are back though, stepping on the beach. Keep your questions coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. You can tweet them in at NoDunksInc, or you can leave them in the YouTube comments. Tassie, what's our first one?
Let's get to our first one. Although I do have a secret bean email. Which was just planted this morning, and the beans have come to fruition, if that's what you would say. No, the beans have grown, so let's save that one for later, though. Mm-hmm. For our first one, hey, No Dunks, Inc., with the new condensed dunk contest format and the somewhat underwhelming participants, what would be the BetMGM odds that Zach LaVine has a better in-game dunk during the actual All-Star game than all the dunk contest dunks?
Oh,
whoa! Turn up, cheese on fries, opossum. That's Rob in Kelowna. What do you think, Skeets? I heard you make a noise there. You don't think that's possible?
No, not all of them. No, I think that's going a little overboard. Look, I went on a dunk contest rant on this morning's daily podcast, right off the top, if you want to go listen to that. Just let the kids dunk, everybody. All right? Just to go in, low expectations, whatever you want. High expectations, doesn't matter. Let's see them dunk before we shit on the damn thing. Will Zach LaVine probably bust out something in the All-Star game? I hope so. I'm not cheering against it. We know he can throw down some pretty incredible stuff, you know, going around the back and stuff like that, taking off from the free throw line. So I'm sure if he gets the breakaway, yeah, something magical will happen. But come on. we're going to get something special, I think, from at least one or two of these young guys in the dunk contest on Sunday at halftime. I'm very excited about that. Going to be a little weird with the limited crowd, but could be fun with the All-Stars, you know, in their uniforms, I guess, or in their warm-ups. And maybe they're involved a lot more because of that. I guess that's in play, too. But no, I'm not hitting up BetMGM and laying money on Zach LaVine having a better dunk. Though I was reminded of the Steph Curry off-the-floor bounce pass to Giannis. Mm. I believe 2 years ago, if you want to fact-check me on that, guys, I think it was in Charlotte. I know they all blend together, but I think that was in Charlotte.
Yeah, I think that was there because we're... If you remember, we'll take you back to us four. We're on that platform at the end. We're working for TNT, and we're sort of at the end of the floor where they're doing Inside the NBA. Mm-hmm. And we had the vantage point. It was right in front of us because it was an end zone platform where they were doing their show. So it was right in front of us. Yeah, that was definitely – I was Charlotte, the Spectrum. We ran into Jeff Skinwade on that same concourse and hours before.
Greg, was that the one where Big John, Raptors security guard, got us into the building too? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I think it was that
night. I think
night.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah, or probably. It was that weekend at least. Follow me. One of the times. He snuck us in through the back door. Anyway, shout out to Big John. But I rewatched it. And I'm just bringing it up because I was like, oh my God, I forgot how sort of incredible that play was. Like, Giannis goes insanely high to get it, Lee. Like, Curry throws it off the ground and the thing just skyrockets. And I think Giannis almost goes above the box to go and get it. And it was a hell of a dunk. I mean, I guess, was that better than any of the dunks in the actual dunk contest that year? Man, I think that's still a stretch, but it was
well,
nice
that's
dunk.
The thing. It comes down to subjectivity, doesn't it?
Like, it does.
You know, was this dunk in game better because he was doing it against defense?
Totally.
Or was it just more athletic, or was it a bigger name guy throwing down a dunk? I mean, all those things come into it. So it's kind of hard to see an all-star game where you'd have a dunk that's better than the dunk contest, but maybe it could happen. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Because we just know that when these guys are going down the lane, even though the defense has picked up in the last couple of years, they tend to stand out of the way. No one wants to get posterized in a all-star game. So
no,
it's probably not going to happen, but you just never know with some of the bigger names in the all-star game than what are in the dunk contest. So I suppose.
Okay, what about this? What if, heaven forbid, I don't think it'll happen, but let's say the dunk contest at halftime of the game for the first time ever is a dud, and the guys can't put down dunks, and everyone's like, oh God, this is bad, this is embarrassing. Will those players in the game take it upon themselves to almost put on a bonus dunk contest? Zach LaVine, Zion Williamson, whoever else wants to get in the mix. Trey, you're nodding. Maybe there's something to that, right? They could save the night if, again, the dunk contest doesn't deliver.
Third quarter is must-watch basketball time. They're coming right after the dunk contest. Then you got the All-Stars who are saying, the fourth quarter is going to matter. That's when we're playing the Elam ending. That's when we're going to actually have to give it a go here. Third quarter, though, let's see some highlights. I feel like it was, what year was this? Maybe 2014 when John Wall had an incredible dunk in the Rising Stars? Nah, that can't be. Somebody, it had to have been earlier.
He was way
back.
He won the dunk contest in 2014.
Okay, so maybe
it was 2012. He won, air quotes.
Yeah.
He won that weird one.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. He had a really great dunk in the Rising Stars contest, and I feel like that was the dunk of the weekend. So it's possible. It's certainly possible to have a dunk that is not in the dunk contest be the best one.
Right.
But it's not quite the same, you know, because it's not the four main elements of the dunk contest. A man, his body, his legs, and a ball.
The ball.
Maybe two balls.
Right. Sometimes two nets, too. What about the
sometimes,
nets?
Sometimes, sometimes a passer.
Yeah.
I thought you were going with the four main elements, like the four dunkers in the dunk contest, but no, you just went straight body, ball, man,
legs.
Ball. Oh, legs, not man, legs.
It's very weird. Very weird. It's one of Trey's weird takes.
But that's the issue with guys, like, just not big names in it, right? Like, people are excited to see Zach LaVine throw a dunk in a game rather than the dunk contest participants. Like, Jeremy Evans was a really good dunker in the dunk contest. Do you remember Jeremy Evans? Not so much.
He jumped over his own painting. I do remember that. That was pretty well.
He did, yeah. Do you remember the last few years? No, I don't remember because I already forget. No, like Glenn Robinson III was a good dunker. Derek Jones Jr. was a good dunker.
Yeah.
But everybody is just, you know, chomping at the bit to see Zach LaVine throw down while they're not so much ready to see, you know, Cassius Stanley throw down. So one of those guys has to have like four great dunks for you to really, really remember them. It's just hard. It's hard for a guy who doesn't have a big name and doesn't have a big rep going in to really steal the show.
But like I said again on this morning's podcast, that doesn't mean they couldn't turn into the next Zach LaVine or the next Aaron Gordon in terms of dunking. You know, if they do something special, like Trey was throwing it out, if somebody does a dunk we've never seen before, does it smoothly, does it with power, then you're like, wow, okay. Because that's what happened with Zach LaVine the first time back in 2015, I think, was his first 15, one, right? Yeah. He goes back-to-back in 15, 16. You know, and Trey's right. I think Zach LaVine was known a little bit more than any of these guys, don't get me wrong, in this year's contest, but it's not like Zach LaVine was a household name. He was just super young. We knew he had hops. We had seen some of his dunks going around, what he had done in, obviously, college and stuff like that, and you were excited for him, but he turned into, obviously, a greater player and a bigger name because of the dunk contest. So hopefully that happens with one of these guys, Toppin or Simons or Cassius Stanley. Who do you have... Tass winning this thing? We made our picks this morning. You obviously weren't with us. Who are you taking in the dunk contest?
Cash Money Stanley taking over for the 2020 and the 2021. Yeah, no doubt. Nice. Give me Cassius. Especially because Obi. I love. There we go. Yeah, you're seeing me with Cassius on YouTube here. If you're hanging out with us, a couple $100 bills. Because Obi Toppin, I love watching him dunk, but it's hard pressed to have a. You know, a big win it. We know that. We know that.
Very difficult.
So I think it'll be between Stanley and Simons, but, you know, who knows?
Hey, look.
Stanley and Simons, what a law firm.
Yeah, we'll be watching. We'll be watching, and we'll very likely be live here on YouTube during the dunk contest. Again, sort of a bonus NBA happy hour, watching together here and reacting in real time. It'll be fun. It could be a good time. All right, next one. Fellas, I'm as thrilled as the next guy about the unprecedented surge in wedgies this season, but I have to say it all feels a little unnatural. When baseballs started flying out of the park at all-time highs, questions were asked. So I wonder, are the basketballs being juiced? Could it be an effect to boost ratings among the throngs of wedgie fans across the globe? Or is it a byproduct of Tom Brady-esque ball deflation to get those softer bounces on threes and drive up scoring? My prevailing theory is it's an antibacterial they're treating the balls with in the time of COVID here that's softening the leather and making them particularly wedge-tastic. Wow. Would love to hear your thoughts. This is from Aria. Wow. Trey, I mean, get us started here. I can't believe we let this through and we read this on air. Is there anything to this? Like, especially that last one there, the antibacterial on the balls, is it having an effect?
It's possible. Something is up. And I think I've discovered who's behind this. Spalding basketballs. Oh. 100% behind the rise in wedgies. This is their last season as the official basketball of the NBA. So something has been changed to make the balls, as Arya says, particularly wedge-tastic. A couple of reasons they would want to do this. Number one, first and foremost, screen time. The ball gets stuck there in the rim. You get a beautiful zoom and you see Spalding right there. But even more important, they're trying to set a wedgie mark that Wilson will never achieve. Setting the bar so high that Wilson comes in. They're so excited to finally be the official basketball of the NBA. They're like, well, guess we'll have to stick to made shots because there's no way we're getting to 69 wedgies. I think that those couple of reasons are why Spalding would do this. And I think the NBA is 100% fine with it because it is good for her ratings. Everybody's tuning in now to see these wedgies. They love it when the game stops. They love seeing the jump ball, love seeing a referee toss it up in the air. It's one of the best moments. So yeah, Spalding is doing it. The NBA is okay with it and we're loving it.
Yeah. What do you think, Tass?
Well, I wanted to ask Trey, because you produced a video during the summer with the NBA protocol of how they were supposed to clean the ball every half, right? Is that what their deal was, or was it for every game?
That's a good question. I'm not sure often they're cleaning it, but they're supposed to be cleaning it. Certainly more than they ever did in the past, I would imagine.
Did you find, you know, when you picked up that ball when it was done, that it was 1% softer or a little bit more... Just a, you know, a little bit gentler? Had the leather fibers broken down just ever so much?
Oh, wow.
That would
it could
produce
be a little softer.
Wedge.
Could be a little more sticky. These are all good reasons why these balls are wedge-tastic. But I don't know. I mean, another factor in it, no doubt, lots of three-pointers.
Yeah.
We're always talking about every wedgie is a snowflake. Everyone is unique. But two that happen quite a bit are a three-pointer. We see a ton of three-pointers. We see a ton from the corner where you're getting that perfect angle into the wedgie. And another, I feel like, common wedgie is several people underneath the rim, the ball gets batted around and somebody smacks it in. Yeah. So if you're trying to take all your shots at the rim or from three, you're bound to get more wedgies. But the pace right now is just insanity.
Yeah. Are you saying we could thank, in a way, Daryl Morey for the increase in wedgies?
Wow.
Three-pointers?
Yes.
Shots at the rim? I mean, that's Morey ball, right? More wedgies. I think there's something to that, for sure. And maybe the ball. I'm not discrediting that that theory with the ball being shot. Look, hey, I went and bought one. I told you this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Costco, $19.99. What a deal. Couldn't believe it. It was right
by
the
bread.
That is a good
deal, actually.
This was right by the bread. Isn't that weird?
Wow.
Costco's strange, man. They just put things anywhere.
Organized by alphabetical order?
Bread, balls. It's working backwards. Bread and then basketball.
Beans.
I will be honest. It's an indoor-outdoor ball, but it's a little soft, Lily.
I can't believe you've still got it in the box. I would have had
I'm waiting to unbox it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you're going to
do a video on Instagram. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Did you want to try this ball, Lee? Maybe you can hit a free throw with your kids with this one.
I could try. Oh. Yeah, it'll probably clunk on the old backboard there. The backboard, the backboard and rim that we have there. Can't believe it survived the entire summer and winter of just being pounded with balls nonstop. Because it's not the highest quality, I'll say that. And it's hanging in there though. It's even hit the deck a few times when we've had some blustery winds come through too. I've woken up in the morning and it's plonk out in the middle of the road, and I'm like, ooh. That's not good, but
the rim's okay though. That's
the rim. Important. The rim is okay. It's still round. Yeah.
All right. So it's still round. It's not a triangle like you were gunning for.
I might have to try that one. That looked like a challenge. Yeah, that looked fun.
Speaking of all the nets, did you ever go pick up Tass's net that you were getting rid of? Did that ever happen? What happened to that bad boy?
Somebody snatched it before I could get over there.
Oh damn! Someone you knew, Tass, or someone straight up took it?
Well, someone I know, but someone took it. Somebody took it in the neighborhood.
That's
ended up just walking by and said, well, there's a net. And it was just kind of hanging out on the front portion of my lawn. Like, it wasn't out
on the
for
curb.
Garbage.
Right.
You know, it was kind of there. But, you know, it was lying down, so the person just thought, oh, I guess it's like 10% on the road.
Oh.
So that person was just like, you know, I had the guts. I was
They didn't
wondering.
Ask you?
No.
Wow.
They thought it was garbage, I guess. I mean, I guess why would you have a hoop kind of
lying down,
hanging
I
there?
Guess? Yeah.
But it was
like
10% on the road, 90% on lawn, 100% balls to pick that up and just roll it. And he had to roll it like a good, I don't know, it's like 100 yards. No, longer than that.
Go ask for it back. Say, yeah, I didn't say you could take that. All right.
But little does he know that there's some holes in that base. So hopefully it doesn't come down on anybody.
It just turns out. If your buddy's got a net that he's getting rid of, it's not easy to go get if you don't have a pickup truck, man. It's a pain in the ass.
They're huge.
Yeah. My neighbor has a truck. He was in on getting this hoop.
Okay.
But Tass said, hey, I'm going to set it out. I'm going to set it out 10% on the road, 90% on the lawn. But in this neighborhood, 10% is all you need. Somebody might come and get it. I said, that's all right. I just want you to not have that hoop anymore.
Right,
somebody came and snatched before he had a chance. Unfortunate, but I don't know. Somebody's going to get rid of their basketball hoop soon. Who's it going to be? Lee, you getting rid of yours? I know it's still in pretty good condition.
Yeah, get a new one, Lee. I'll take your clunker.
Well, it's funny because our neighbors actually did have it out on their nature strip that was clearly there, like up for grabs. And I tried to grab it, and it was an NBA one too. It was a proper one, but it was full of like hardened cement in the base. And it was like, well, I can't move it.
Oh, wow.
Can't move it. Impossible to move. It was there for weeks. And then someone I just noticed in their driveway, they nicked it. So someone got
moved
it done.
It.
Yeah, eventually. But
so it wasn't impossible to move in the
No,
end.
It wasn't, but they must have had a car or something. Because I just walked over and said, all right, well, I'm just taking this one. I couldn't do it. So I was like, all right, I don't want it.
I guess that's the move. Maybe you just rent a pickup truck and drive around whatever city looking for basketball hoops. Hey, that one's pretty close to the curb. Might as well grab it, throw it in the back.
Yeah.
What did you say your neighbor had it on his nature strip?
Is that like the, you know, like between the sidewalk and the, what do you call that?
Oh, okay.
Don't you call that a nature strip?
Easement? Is that what it's called?
Easement, I think that's the
I've never heard it called nature strip, but I'm not mad at it.
I like it,
Sure. Yeah.
It's an Australian thing, I guess. But
it's a good one.
The hair coming down from your belly button.
Yeah, that's a Manscaped ad read for sure.
Nature.
You want to take care of your nature strip? We've got Manscaped Weed Whacker 3.0.
I looked up because, Trey, you mentioned, definitely feels like there's a lot more three-point shots this year. Definitely feels like there's a lot more guys who shouldn't be taking them that are taking them, resulting in a good amount of wedgies. There's two more threes per game over last year, which I thought there'd be more, but that's I mean, it's still a lot. There's 70 threes per game. That's freaking a lot. There's 68 last year, 64 the year before that, 58 the year before that. Keeps climbing.
I did see somebody tweet us in this morning. I guess it was about Wool Boys, but I would love to know about wedgies too. Like, which team has allowed the most wedgies? Like, which arena? Which ribs? Because that's like, you know, for a wedgie to truly dance, it's a couple of things. Like a dunker, it's the shooter, it's the ball, but it's also the rim, right? And the backboard. I mean, really.
The four elements of a wedgie.
Yeah. So I wonder, is it happening? Like, I know Portland, I know Lamar Heard, the wedgie whisperer. He was in attendance for a lot of wedgies. Now, how many of those were in Portland? I'm not sure off the top of my head. But
most of them.
Yeah, so maybe, and then it's, you know, the conditions of the arena, I want to know. Man, let's really break it down.
Feels like Tampa and the Raptors have had a few, too. We've had a few Matt Devlin and Jack Armstrong. So.
The humidity in Tampa. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right. Okay, somebody do a thesis on wedgies.
It'd be great.
100. Yeah, it'd be a great one. Okay.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Next one. Dear No Dunks fam, it was great to see Knicks and Nets fans back in attendance this week. Julius Randle even got MVP chants, which is a stretch even for a real diehard Knicks fan. But it's all in fun of chanting things while in the audience. I remember chanting, "Suit up, Fisher," back when Derek Fisher was coaching and the Knicks were down by 20. This got me thinking, what happens in the playoffs? If one team is allowed fans and one team isn't, is there an unfair advantage, or would the league not allow fans to balance the playing field? Obtuse, rubber goose, green moose, guava juice. That's from Justin in New York.
Good one. That's one of my favorites, actually.
Good question.
Yeah.
I think by May 22nd, we're going to have fans basically in every arena. That's almost a given. I would say 100% of the arenas are going to have it. We have fans in 19 arenas right now. It's going to be 20 next week when the Pistons start allowing fans. And yeah, that's 2.5 months away. That's going to be full. President Biden just announced that every adult should be able to get the vaccine by the end of May. Now, vaccine doesn't equal vaccinations, but there's going to be a ton of fans in the stands. But like the hypothesis or just this... This thought experiment, would NBA say, hey, no way, Nets, you can't allow fans if the Knicks are allowing fans? I think it'd be the opposite. I think they'd say, Knicks, for sure, you can have as many fans as you want. If you guys are allowing fans, I don't think the NBA would step in and say, because it's just the game right now. I mean, they're already allowing fans now. Why would they do it? Why would they stop it in May?
Right. So you're saying right now, if you think about it, it's not a balanced playing field because not every city or every state is allowing, and not that they should, fans into the arena. That's a good point. Good way to look at it. I guess the Raptors will be at an advantage regardless, right? Not playing in their own city is what I'm getting at. You know, I don't think they're going to be back for the playoffs to Canada. Who knows? I guess it's possible. Probably unlikely. I don't think they came out and said that, did they, Tass? Like, they didn't say postseason, we are also here in Tampa. I guess it's assumed.
I said the rest of the season. Yeah, I think it's assumed.
Yeah, so that sucks for them. Though they can have fans in there, and there's a bunch of Raptors fans down in Florida. I don't know. It was a good question, because I hadn't thought about it, to be honest. No. But I think I'm with you. I don't know if anybody disagrees with what Tass is saying. They're going to, if you're allowed in your state to allow fans in and do it safely, then sorry if you're the one or two, I guess, cities or arenas that doesn't, right, Lee? Is that what you would think?
Yeah. They're not going to cut off any revenue stream whatsoever. It doesn't matter where it comes from. So, yeah, if one city or one state is allowing more than another, that's just bad luck to the state that doesn't allow as many, I guess, if in terms of getting crowd in there. But, it seems like the bubble is completely off the table for the playoffs. I know that was considered an idea at some point, but right now it's kind of like, it's like, well, we can kind of deal with what we're dealing with right now and just survive. And, you know, it's like it's not a priority really to keep fans away. They're trying to get in as many as possible, slowly inching up the amounts time by time. So I think just between now and July, whenever the playoffs start or the finals start, you're going to see, you know, potentially even full capacity in some arenas. I mean, if people are vaccinated, you may be like...
Yeah, there'll be technology probably that you have to prove that you're vaccinated.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. If you come in with your...
You have the app and all that, yeah.
Yeah. If you're vaccinated, maybe go in. I mean, I think mask wearing will still be advised and recommended, but probably not enforced. So that's the way I can see it. I can't see them going backwards from here.
Yeah. Trey, anything to add to this thought experiment?
Nah, I think you guys nailed it. The only thing I would say is that maybe the 76ers, regardless of what happens, should consider not having fans for the entirety of the season. 15-3 at home so far, and you still see an Embiid calling to the fans who are not there for MVP calls. For MVP chance, it's great stuff. He's like, I'm celebrating like as if they were here. And he seems to be having his best season ever. You know, he's a guy that we thought, oh, this is going to be tough for Joel Embiid not having the fans getting him fired up. He's firing himself up, looking better without the fans. So maybe the Sixers are like, okay, guys, we're just taking a break. See you next season when we got that chip.
Maybe it works out for them. Yeah, I think too, Justin said that the Knicks crowd was chanting MVP for Julius Randle. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think they were doing it for Quickly too at one point. I'm pretty sure there was a second Knicks player that they were also dropping MVP chants on, which Knicks fans gonna Knicks, right? Lili, you're part of the community there. Fantastic. Have you guys back above 500 or close.
Hey, it's great to see the Knicks back because their fans are getting completely carried away, you know, this resurgent. Yeah. They've never been like this before in years gone by. So they've got an all-star, they've got a good rookie. They're in love with Tibbs. Everyone loves Tibbs right now.
Right.
I mean, it's probably only got another season of this before it wears off. But hey, it's working right now. And that's all that counts when you've been the Knicks and you've been in the doldrums for so many years.
Quickly was snubbed from the Rising Stars game, though, wasn't he? Oh, they're not going to be happy about that. Oh, my God. That was just released before we jumped on here. My goodness. They're not playing the game, by the way, everybody. The Rising Stars game will not be
it's
playing
too dangerous.
But they've named them. And your boy Campazzo made it, Lee, so you must be happy. Too Very dangerous. Happy. I think they're not playing it because did you see the U.S. team compared to the international team? I think it would have been a smoke show. And hey, look, but five Canadians on the international team. I was happy about that. But oh my goodness, that American team was loaded with names. It's like, well, who? I mean, it was Ja and Zion and who am I forgetting right now?
Who else was on their team?
Well, Halliburton.
I know DeAndre Hunter made it, but he's obviously won't be playing. Yeah, the U.S. team. I think it's going to have to go back to just rookies and sophomores pretty soon because the disparity, once they actually play the game, it's pretty severe.
Yeah. Yeah, it comes and goes, though. Who knows? Who knows? Not this year, but they named them. So congratulations, everybody got named. Quickly didn't. And Knicks fans are pissed. All right, next one. Hello to gents. Hello to the gents. My question is coming from Kelowna. This is our second email from Kelowna, right?
Yep.
It's crazy. British Columbia, Canada. Shout out to Kelowna. Shout out to the Canadians out there. Nick writes, the last quadruple double was posted almost 27 years ago by the Admiral David Robinson. Seems like we're overdue for one. So who do you think is the most likely player to, in each conference to break the drought and post that elusive quad dub? Cheers and stay safe. That again, that's from Nick Wall, the quadruple double. Obviously getting 10 plus in four statistical categories out of points, rebounds, assists, steals, or blocks. Getting four of those, 10 plus. It is pretty amazing that there's only been five ever in NBA history. That is crazy when you really stop and think about it. Hakeem Olajuwon did it twice in the same month. Wow. In 1990, he did it twice. We've had Nate Thurman when he was a Bulls player and he was bald. Great look for him. Had
the bald bull?
Yeah. He had 12 blocks and then obviously achieved all the 10 plus in the other categories. Spurs guard Elvin Robertson was the next player to do it in 1986. He's the first and only player, I think, still to do it with steals because usually the guys do it with blocks. Mm-hmm. I said Hakeem did it twice and then David Robinson, the last player to do it. 1994, 34 points, 10 boards, 10 assists, 10 blocks.
Wow.
Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Was close a couple of years ago, 2017. This is the most insane stat line that we've had in a long time. 12 rebounds for Draymond Green in this game against the Grizzlies. 10 assists. Okay. He had 10 steals, but incredibly, he failed to score 10 points in the blowout win. He also had 5 blocks in that game, but he only had 4 points, so he didn't get the 5x5 either. He finished 2 for 6. What an insane line, but pretty close. So, to my predictions... I thought this was really fun. I love doing this one. In the Western Conference, I didn't overthink it. I think it's Jokic. I mean, he was already year 2 rebounds and 3 steals short of one this season. I don't think it'll come in blocks. He does not get a whole bunch in games. But steals, again, he had 7 already in a game this year. I know 3 more to go is still a lot, but it's possible. You know, it's one of those things. The team is sloppy. He's got those big, long arms. Sometimes you get credited for a weird steal or two here. That's, I mean, you're sort of like, was that your steal? Okay, yeah, deflection. It led to it, whatever. And then, of course, he can do he's a triple-double machine. So the other three categories is not a problem, especially the way he passes the ball. So I think Jokic in the West. I thought the East was a little more difficult. At first, I thought maybe Miles Turner, but he can't get the assists. I mean, he could do the blocks. I think he still leads the league in blocks, but he's not even getting close to the assists. He gets like 2 or 3. Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
I think is a good one with steals. Yeah, he's on your list. Okay. And then it's funny because I'm going Ben Simmons with the steals, but I just told you it's like very, very rare. And I'm also going Jokic with the steals. It's rare for that to happen. So it's more likely in blocks. So maybe I'll throw it at Clint Capella. He already had a game where he had 10 blocks. He's not as bad as Turner when it comes up to racking assists, but he's not like that's going to be the tough one to get 10 dimes. But again, assists are sometimes some of those like funny games where it's like you just hand it to the guy and he shoots a 3, right? So, you know, if the ball finds his way to Clint enough and he kicks to the corner or clicks out to Trae Young and he gets enough assists, I think it's possible. He's obviously going to get the big beef rebound. He's going to get the points. So those are my, I guess, 3 guys, Jokic in the West. And then in the East, I'm going Ben Simmons or Clint Capella. Trey, you agreed with Simmons. Anyone else I'm forgetting or you want to throw in the mix?
I think Simmons is good. Simmons could make a run at 10 steals, but 10 steals is, that's tough.
Yeah.
2 times since 2010 have we had a 10 steal game. That Draymond one you mentioned, and oddly enough, Lou Williams had a 10 steal game. So for me, the blocks are more likely. Yeah. In the Eastern Conference, I'll go Giannis. You know, he's had he's a triple-double kind of guy. He could easily have a 10 block game. And then in the Western Conference, I would go Anthony Davis in a game where LeBron James is not playing. I know that's not going to happen right now because Anthony Davis is not playing. LeBron James is not going to be playing for this next game, but he is on the court. But in a game where Anthony Davis gets to handle the ball, where he gets to be the guy making the decisions and passing the ball, I can see him having a 10-assist game. I think that might be not tougher, but more unlikely than a 10 blocks game. He's had a double digit block game a few times during his career. So Giannis and AD, guys who can do everything and are super athletes. All we'll see.
This is a fun question. I love these questions. Lee, who do you got? Anyone we're missing?
Well, there's one guy who I think could do it from the sort of guard position is maybe DeJounte Murray from the San Antonio Spurs, because he gets the steals.
Okay.
He gets the steals. He's had quite a few double-figure rebound games this season, and he's actually had more rebound double figures than he has assists, which is kind of odd for him. But I think someone like him because, he's had 8 steals in a game. He's had 5 in a game. It's just, you know, to get 10 is so tough. I guess blocks, it is just easier. Because
it's easier. You can get a couple blocks on like one possession.
Yeah.
Is the other thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you rack up like 3 blocks in the span of like 15 seconds because the guy just keeps going up. And
I mean,
it's more likely than steals.
Andre Drummond should be able to get it too. He's not a bad passer of the ball from that high post, but just doesn't, you know, he's never had, not this season, he's had a 10 assist game, but he can pass the ball well. If you have guys who can shoot as well, that's obviously going to help. So, and he's going to be around the rim blocking those shots. So someone like him could do it. But the other guys you all mentioned, though, are the right Giannis. I mean, it figures that Giannis would get close at some point.
Yeah. DeJounte Murray is a good one. I don't mind that. I can squint and see that happening. Hey, Elvin Robertson did it in a Spurs uniform. Mm-hmm. Why not Murray? Tass anybody that?
Yeah, DeJounte Murray, I noticed this last week. He's averaging 7 boards a game. That's a big, big number for a PG. Jokic is a good one. 50 career triple-doubles already. Jokic is 9th all-time in triple-doubles. And, that's point rebounds and assists. And, yeah, he's one of the league leaders in steals. So even though it is very difficult to get 10 steals, I like his chances for sure. I didn't realize how hard it is to get 10 steals in comparison to 10 blocks. But I know when you were back in the day, Skeets, when you were doing fantasy by hand, you wouldn't see a double-digit steals game ever. Like Trey just mentioned, it's hard. But the big boys, the D-Robs, the Akeems, those guys were getting double-digit rebounds. But, the Jokic, the Ben Simmons, I think. Especially when you don't have to concentrate on points. When you're a defensive player, you'll go get those, you know, the steals and the blocks. And 10 points should just come, unless your name is Draymond Green, I guess.
Yeah, that's the weird one. Well, why not Rudy Gobert then, I guess? Could be in the mix in terms of the blocks.
Assists? What about the assists?
Assists would be tough. Again,
assists are all those three-point shooters, though. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you should be able to fire to a couple of those guys.
That's what I mean. I think you sometimes just fall into those assists. That's tough. Sure, you're right. Again, I agree. That's why I thought Miles Turner immediately, and then I'm like, no, they just, like, you're not using Miles Turner like that a lot. That's the thing. Like, you're not going to Turner in the middle. Hey, make your Draymond Green type decision. No.
I mean, 10 rebounds can be a bit of a question for Miles Turner, to be quite honest. People in the stream team are saying Bam Adebayo. I think that's not a bad choice as well. Bam handles the ball a lot more now, brings it up sometimes for the Heat. Maybe a game when Jimmy Butler's out. I could see that happening.
Yeah. What about Fred VanVleet for the steals? Yeah, possibility. I could see him racking up like a 9 or 10 game steal in one game. He's the active hands. Gets a lot of them. Kendall Gill, when we were talking fantasy back when we were younger, Tess, I remember him being the steal man. I think he had a couple games where... Is he all time in a game?
In 11 in one game, I think, is still the high, yeah.
So isn't that weird? 11's the record.
Yeah.
We're talking about one less to even just like have the chance at the quadruple-double. Yeah. That's wild. Fun question, Nick.
All right, next one. Hello, Starunks. I've been following you guys since the starters and quite frankly have fallen in love with Lee. I think of him often while I'm daydreaming, and specifically about his love of numerous sports. Well, to my surprise, I found Cricket 19 on the Xbox yesterday and decided to give it a try. I mean, how hard can it be? I've heard Lee talk about it a million times. Alas, halfway through the match, I literally didn't understand a single rule or how the scoring worked. So my question is, when's the time you felt like you could jump into something due to a false sense of understanding? Much love. Trunks aren't dunks. Tree trunks. Jake from Danville, Kentucky. Very confusing. Thanks for the email, Jake. Lee, what do you think? What's something you had a false sense of understanding about?
Yeah, well, first off, cricket on the PlayStation or whatever, that would be difficult. There is this game, I don't know if it's still active, but it used to be on the computer you could play for free called Stick Cricket, where basically you're just hitting the ball every time, and it's a little bit easier because there's not a whole lot of skill or tactics in it. You're just trying to hit the ball every time. You might try that out and have a little bit more fun with that one rather than trying it on the device.
Xbox.
There. Yeah. As far as something I thought I could jump into would be okay at, remember when we went to Toronto for All-Star Weekend 2016 and we went axe throwing?
Yeah,
and that was kind of it was a bit of a sort of in vogue thing to do. Like, everyone was having a cool time going axe throwing, and we decided to do it. And I'd seen a few people talk about it and say, "Yeah, it's a great night out." No one really said how difficult it was, though, to actually sort of get the right sort of momentum, I guess, with throwing those. Actually, got to lean forward and sort of, you know, not hang on to it for too long.
Yep.
And we all did it, and I mean, we managed to land the few axes onto the bullseye there, but was not easy. And I actually didn't really enjoy it all that much either, to be honest. I was kind of like, well, why people are talking about this? I guess it's just different, and you know, it's a night out, you have a few drinks, but you're throwing axes, and it's like, I don't think I'll be doing this again, unless it's like, you know, a team building event type thing. But I wouldn't just be like, "Hey, you want to go axe throwing?"
We're doing when we can see each other after this pandemic is over: no dunks, axe throwing. I know they got it down here in Atlanta. We're going build the team back up. Yeah. All right, that's a good one. I mean, my answer's similar. It's curling. I thought curling would be like, all right, this looks like somewhat easy. I gotta take this rock and just sort of like shuffle it down there and have it just go in there. I thought, okay, I can do that. I'll take a couple tries and then I'll be able to get it. Pfft, nope. It's tough. It is very, very difficult to find the touch. So that's my answer. I was shocked by how difficult it was to actually get it to just like the perfect weight on it, right? And
Yeah, totally. I took a, you know, like an introduction curling course. You go go to the ice for a couple hours, first hour. It's freaking all learning. It sucked. Like, come on, man. Can't be that hard. Guess what? It actually is.
Yeah.
Even getting the slide down to be able to go from the blocks to, I don't know. I don't think they call it the blue line in curling, but whatever that thing is when you got to release it. That's tough, man. That long slide with your big fat stride. That's tough. But next time, come on. I don't care to learn the proper techniques that much. You know,
let me chuck them.
Yeah, exactly. I've abandoned my quest to become an Olympic curler. All I want to do is land one on the bullseye. That's it. Give me as many tosses as possible, because I don't want to just be striding the whole time. Striding and sliding. Let me toss.
I'm with you, man.
But I think you got to learn the proper technique to beat
these. Yeah, you got to like turn it a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
I know.
You
got to curl it. It sucks. It does suck. But yeah, to get off that hack. I remember it's called a hack.
Yeah, that's right.
And push off that thing and they like to curl that thing. That's hard work. My high school had the best curling team in Ontario, in the province, for a long time. The guys, like a few of my buddies, you guys know Lee. I think he was the skip.
Nice.
And they were good, and they had a curling team, and they'd go to different high schools, and high schools had rinks in their friggin' gym or in their school. I don't know, maybe they went to public or to you know, like a communal place, but yeah, that's weird. Canada, what a weird place.
Lee, would you rather go curling together or axe throwing when we can?
I'd like to try curling because I've never done it.
But you've
before,
never done it. All right. No, curling it is.
Curling is pretty fascinating when you are not from Canada and you come over and people are just going crazy over curling at the Winter Olympics and that. You're like, what the hell is going on? Like, they go nuts brushing it and, you know, people are cheering and roaring. You're just like, I don't know what the hell's going on and why is it such a big sport? But people love it.
My buddy Dub at the Vancouver Olympics that we were talking about not too long ago on another show, they got tickets to curling. They said it was like the best time in the world. It's like the most fun. It's a party. Like the atmosphere is awesome. You know, you don't got to be quiet. It's not like tennis or anything like that. Like it's a full on party and it's actually, I mean, I'll watch it on TV sometimes. Yeah. Hey, Tass, remember the Scots Tournament of Hearts or whatever it's called? Hearts Scots Tournament? I don't know.
Is Canada the world champions of it? You know, like considered?
It used to be. Or...
Are they like the Brazil of soccer, you know? I mean,
I think they were. Like, I think they won it a lot.
Yeah.
But I have no idea if like Norway has taken them over or something like that.
It was either Turin or Salt Lake City, where they were red hot favorites, and they blew it in the
they
semifinals.
Blew it? Yeah, I remember that.
And I remember it was like just crushing for the you know curling / Winter Olympic sort of portion of Canada. I was like, it's all right, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You've won plenty before, but I'd like to try it. I'd give it a shot.
I remember you mentioned All-Star Weekend in Toronto in 2016. Lee, we had you know fans there at the bar at Real Sports that had come from the U.S. or just fans that had never been to Canada before, and it was on TV. And I remember I was hanging out with friends, and they looked up and they're like, "What the heck is that?"
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was on Sportsnet.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
And a good old curling match.
Oh, yeah. Man, Vic Router Tuesday on night. The call. Yeah.
Oh, Vic Router. Yeah. Connection
of course
is good.
Yeah. All right. It looks like the United States won the men's tournament gold medal at the 2018 Olympics. The women's champion, Sweden.
Okay.
And the mixed doubles champion, Canada.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
So, you know, the curling medals are all spread out across the globe right now. Who will unite them?
I think it is Norway that was famous for their pants.
Oh, they had like red and white and blue,
yeah, like just like
diamond pants or something like that.
Yeah, just like this crazy style that really caught on.
Those curling community. Are crazy, man.
All right. Anyone else have an answer for this that hasn't answered it? Tess?
Yeah,
or
bit off a little bit more than I could chew over the weekend. I've transplanted a lot of plants, but we were moving a flowering pear tree from one planter to the next.
Yeah, saw this.
Yeah, a little more root bound than I was thinking. And oh my goodness, that's some wet, heavy dirt. Especially when you're trying to maneuver in Hammacher Schlemmer slippers here. I thought this thing would fly right out. Eventually, I had to flip it over. Stick the roots through the holes that had grown through.
Look at this guy go.
Covered in dirt. You know, but hopefully the pear tree survived. We got it into that bigger one you see in the background there. And, you know, the weather's turning right now.
Wow, I keep thinking it's going to pop out.
Did I, man. I was like, okay, I know that the roots here are growing through the bottom because we hadn't moved that tree in probably like 6 years or something like that. So it's been growing in there for a while. It was much needed. but I thought if you gave it a nice solid yank, it would just come flying through all the roots. Not so much the case. Those things were swirled in, buddy, locking it down, getting those nutrients. But that was the same day that tweet came out that said something like, everybody wants to wear Carhartt shit until it's time to do Carhartt shit.
Yeah.
So I felt good at the end of the day when I was covered in mud and completely exhausted from moving a single tree.
Yeah, I moved that. that pear plant from that one to that one. It took me 2 hours, but I did it. Nice. I did see that. I love that tweet. It's a good one. What do you got to ask for this?
Well, I'm looking into the future, and I just get a false sense of understanding about fishing through Trey. Via Trey. I think I can just get out there on the lake because where I'm moving, got a lake real close.
Ooh.
It's got fish in it. So I'm just going to make it happen. I'm going to look like a dumbass, and I'm definitely going to call Trey immediately and say, what the hell am I doing wrong? Because I know I'm going to come up empty and probably going to buy some Carhartts and hang out on the stream. But yeah, right now I think it's easy, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to be like curling. It's going to be tough.
Are you going to get yourself a John boat?
Woo-hoo.
It's like buying golf clubs, basically, right? After going golfing once. Yeah, you'll probably buy it after the first time out there.
Yeah, happiest day you buy a John boat is the day you sell it. Something like that.
So as the saying goes.
You're going to get them, Tass. You're going to get them no problem. It's never the fisherman's fault. It's always the fish's fault.
Yeah,
you're
just
catch
not biting.
Yeah.
Must just be the hungry. Temperature. Yeah.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
I got a couple more questions here. Hey, boys. My name is Jeremy, and I'm French. Or maybe Jeremiah. I've been a fan of yours since 2016. I'm a teacher, and some of your segments have inspired some of my lessons, which is fantastic. I would love to know what you're using from our show to teach your students. My English also got better thanks to you. I'm now using fancy words like convoluted. Anyway, I grew up a Sonics fan. On the playground, my brother was Sean Kemp, and I was Gary Payton, throwing those lobs, or at least trying to. I don't think Kemp gets enough credit for what he brought to the game. Even though the second part of his career was disappointing, I think he deserves Hall of Fame considerations. What's your take? Keep up the good work. Turnip, love from Paris. Jeremy, again, or Jeremiah, apologies, I'm not sure which one. P.S., deep down, I wanted to be Kendall Gill. Wow, Liz, speaking into existence here. This guy just wanted to get a bunch of steals in a game. I love it. Maybe you want to be a boxer later in life, but I also love it. It's an interesting question. Sean Kemp, Hall of Fame possibility. Trey, what do you think?
My first inclination is no, but Sean Kemp is a 6-time All-Star, made All-NBA 3 times. That's a lot. There are a lot of 6-time All-Stars that are in the Hall of Fame. I dug deep into the 6-time range. You got maybe a 50-50 shot if you're a 6-time All-Star. You know, Joe Johnson, a 7-timer, he's not in yet. Will he get in? Likely not. But there are a couple of guys in the 6-time All-Star club that have or will have the exact same case as Sean Kemp. They're all three the same guy. Sean Kemp, Amari Stoudemire, and Blake Griffin. Mm-hmm. All 6-time All-Stars. Amari and Blake were 5 times All-NBA. Kemp, like I said, 3 times. They all really captured the zeitgeist at one point in their career. Obviously, Sean Kemp there with Gary Payton, part of that 1-2 punch. Amari Stoudemire with the 7 seconds or less Suns. And then the Lob City Clippers. They were all playing with great point guards. They were all catching alley-oops. They all peaked pretty hard early in their careers, and then they went downhill fast. Are any of these guys Hall of Famers? They're all going to end with pretty similar stats, it looks like, you know, around 15,000 career points. And like I said, you know, certainly the biggest impact they had was on their first teams early in their careers. And the peaks were very high. You know, all three of these guys were instrumental to their team's success. I would say generally the number two to the point guard's number one. I don't necessarily think any of these guys are going to make the Hall of Fame, but they're all awesome. They're all super fun to watch. And there's a reason that when you see a super athletic power forward who can get off the floor really fast, they're instantly being compared to Amari or to Sean Kemp, or eventually it'll be to Blake Griffin. Yeah. Obi Toppin is the guy that's getting that kind of buzz right now. So I don't know. I don't think any of these guys are ever going to have a chance at the Hall of Fame, but I really liked watching them at their peaks for every single one of them.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't think they make it. Unfortunately, maybe if you're a fan of them. But it's fine because, like you said, like people love them. And they'll never be forgotten because of their highlights and because of what they did in games. So that's good. All three of their cases, I mean, I guess it's still possible with Blake. Sure, would be helped by a championship ring, right? Or like some really deep postseason mm-hmm. success, maybe one or two times. And there's just not a ton of that for any of those guys. So, yeah, I'm with you, Trey. I ultimately don't think they will, but that's okay. That's fine. I loved DeSean Kemp. Loved him and Gary Payton. I thought they were two of the coolest guys in the league at the time. And I feel like that's how they're going to remember Lely.
Yeah, and Sean Kemp, just looking through his basketball reference here, I can't believe only one season he averaged more than 20 points a game, and that was his last good season in Cleveland where he averaged 20.5 in only 42 games that he played.
Yeah, we talked about that once on a show, I remember. I remember that came up. That is shocking. You wouldn't have thought that.
I mean, in those early days with Peyton, you would think at just minimum he was like 23, 24 a game, but just not quite there. And yeah, I think unfortunately because he was so good and dynamic for four or five seasons there, but then the end was pretty messy. Like he just moved around teams and he was barely playing towards the end of his career. And when you look at his final numbers, he averaged 14.5 points, 8.5 rebounds for his game. Over 1,000 games he played, so he stuck around for a while. Just doesn't really jump off at you, they made the finals, of course, in 96. That was clearly his best season as a player, but they ran into the Chicago Bulls. I mean, if Jordan doesn't come out of retirement, maybe the Sonics have one. In fact, going back to 1994, when they got knocked out by the Nuggets in that upset, when Jordan wasn't playing, what could have happened potentially in that season? So, it's tough. I would say Blake, out of all three, has probably got the best chance of getting in. He was third in MVP voting in 2014. Seemed to have a bit of a longer sort of peak there, but
I agree with that. Of the three guys, I think so.
I would best say, case. But because Amari, I mean, remember Amari started off great, then he had those knee injuries for a couple of years. He came back and he was good, but once he lost his ability to just sort of dunk continually on guys, he just wasn't as effective at the end. So, they've got very similar sort of stories, those guys. Athletic, explosive, you know, electrifying dunks for a lot of years, but ultimately none of them really had the playoff success or the team success that sort of makes their cases a little bit stronger.
Did any of those three guys win a gold medal? Were there any of them on an Olympics? Yeah.
Pretty 96.
Oh, he won that Dream Team 2? Was he on that one? Yeah, that might make sense.
He was on that 94 Goodwill game, actually. Was he on
the World Championship team?
He definitely was.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Not that matters all that much, but some people take that into consideration. Okay.
Came and played in this. Yeah, I remember him in '94 team because he came and played in the Sky Dome
in Toronto. Yeah.
I think Blake, Amari Stoudemire, and Sean Kemp all in the same category. Maybe not the Hall of Fame, but definitely the Heart of Fame. Right? They all affected fans in a similar way. Everybody just loved watching them. I would say Blake, had the longest peak of all of them. Maybe Amari was the most memorable team because he was with the Run and Gun Suns. Although, you know, the Clippers are memorable. Obviously, the Sonics are memorable. I guess what Sean Kemp has going against them is that, injuries kind of took away Amari's career, took away Blake's career. You know, Sean's belly took away his career a little bit, too. He got pretty big in his 30s. His 20s were amazing. All three of these guys. It was just it was a great run for all three of them. But It's just right on the border there. It's hard to put him in. If you start comparing all the guys, once we start comparing power forwards, I go to C Webb. I'm like, why isn't C Webb in there?
I was just going to ask you, do you have Chris Webber just above these guys, right on the same level, below? I was just going to ask that, so I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Tess.
For me, it's C-Webb is a step above just the offensive game that he had, the repertoire. He had a little bit more, you know, create on his own, a little bit more with the ball in his hands, and as opposed to, you know, guys lobbing it up for him, okay, like those other three dudes. But they're still, you know, they all affected me. I still love them. They're still in a, you know, they still have a crap load of fans for all three of these dudes. And that's why, you know, I think Jeremy in France here, who loved the Sonics, and he loved Kendall Gill more than he loved Sean Kemp, he still thinks about him. Still yeah. thinks about him on the court.
I was just wearing a shirt the other day, the Kemp Peyton homage shirt, like the NBA Jam duo. I got that one. I love that one. I wear that all the time. Two of my favorite players, for sure. Great question. All right, we got one more. Let's wrap this bad boy up. Or I guess we got a second bean. We got a bonus bean question. Yeah,
we're going to dip into the beans. Okay. Let's jump to this one here. It's about Survivor. Hey, family, quick Survivor question. Thumbs up or down on the next Survivor season twist being that the castaways have to try and stay longer than 39 days? Possibly 50 days? I don't know what this means. They can probably execute it by increasing the number of castaways, adding reward challenges, etc. Wish you all nothing but the best. Longtime fan. That's from Morad. What do you got, JD? What's going on here with this Survivor season?
What's going on with 41? We know that it's happening. We know that I think that they might even be shooting it now. Is that right, guys? Have you heard?
Possible. If they haven't, it's starting like this spring. Like yeah. When they're recording it. Yeah. I'm
not so sure. It'll, I mean, I haven't heard anything about extending it to 50 days. But as a concept, I think I might be up on it. Thumbs up on 50 days. However,
okay, why? What? Why? Well, why adding 11 more days? What does it do?
Okay, well, if there's a couple of caveats, like you would have to, I am thumbs down on having a bigger cast because the cast is massive as it is. So, right. I mean, what's the most we've ever had? 20 people, right?
Probably 20.
20, yeah. So say there's 20 people. My pitch would be you got an extra 11 days. Start everybody together, yeah?
Okay.
So there it's, yeah, everybody is all together and nobody gets voted off for the first week. So,
oh, let the dynamics start to play out.
Yes. Mm. Relationships form, cliques happen.
Yep.
Nobody gets voted off. Then they go to tribal council. They vote off somebody or two people or whatever. Then they split them, right? Okay. Randomly. I think that would add a new twist. And okay. Immediately, I thought, like, what would I rather watch, a marathon or a triathlon? No offense, Keats. It's a triathlon. I'd much rather watch a triathlon.
How the hell do you watch people swim?
Oh, it's fascinating to me. The swimming part's not
them.
That long.
Yeah, he's
a big swimmer.
I love swimming. Yeah, I was like, wow, I wonder if there's any sharks in there. Drama. But, you know... And also, you could bring back some of the great endurance players like Ozzy, right? Or Yao Man, or who else was good? Stephanie LaGrossa.
Yao Man.
All right, Wentworth, you know, Wendell, yep. Tasha Fox, those, you know, those people. So, you know, just to see them go the extra 11 days could be cool. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, okay. But yeah.
You just don't want it to be bigger. Like
not bigger
cast. Oh, we got 30 people, but it's 50 days.
Yeah.
And because like with a 20 cast, it's already like you don't know 8 people,
right.
7 people. Like it's like they're there, but they're just like not involved in the storyline because they only have like an hour every week.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. So. And then you really get to know that first vote off, you really get to know them.
Yeah, that's
and
a good
how,
point.
You know, there's a lot more at stake when you're the first off and it's been a week, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
The dynamic could be interesting. But then again, 39 days, they suffer so much in that 30, but if you can make it to the end, I mean, who was it? There was a woman who made it, Amanda Kimmel?
Yeah, maybe? She made it twice.
She made it twice, 39 days twice. I mean, she could probably kill 50 days, no problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So.
I mean, they just get into a rhythm for sure.
Yeah.
Some people are built for that. The weather comes into play, of course, and how miserable it is or isn't. But yeah,
absolutely.
I like your wrinkle. I like the thinking. If you go 50 days, like make this like elongated first week. That's you're thinking outside the box there. I enjoy that.
So. I mean, you have to because otherwise, what are you doing? You're just spreading out tribal councils and
right.
You know, not into that.
Yeah, they're already in a good Survivor season. Can be one or two episodes where we're like, eh, all right.
Yeah.
Like, we sort of know who's going home. We're just milking it for all it's worth. But,
that's yeah. right. But, but those good ones, it's when Jeff's going, there's way too much to pack into 44 minutes. Yeah, we don't have time. Like, we don't have time for all the goofy shit or, even the strategy sometimes gets swept under the rug.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's take our time. And if you have a really good cast, really good endurance players, I think it could be really cool.
You could do it. But you, correct me if I'm wrong, you are more of a fan. Like, you love all the facets of the game, but you are one of these people that I think likes camp life.
Yeah.
And would like to see that included more than where we've gone over the last couple of years. Like, it's like challenge, reward, challenge, reward.
Totally.
Like, it's like we lose a little bit of the dynamics of just living at camp.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things are actually happening.
That's the game to me. Like, sometimes I'll just like, I never fast forward things, but I will glaze over during an immunity challenge, Like, okay, well, let's...
But apparently a lot of the public loves that stuff.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
kids love it.
My kids love it, for sure. Yeah. That's the highlight for them. But I want to see the sneaking around. I like the shot of the snake, and then we see them at the water hole, ooh, the snakes are out. And then the shot of the shark, and ooh, somebody's being sneaky.
All right, Trey, anything to add to this good question here?
The people in the stream team are saying that this would make it very similar to Alone, which would be true. If they basically go, maybe they play it normal. You get down to the final three and you see how far those final three can go. How many days are you going? I'm going to 75. I'm going to 77. I'm going to 79. Whoa!
The production just quit, please.
They would hate it the most for sure. But they're totally different shows. So, how would they do it? Would they lose the voting? The iconic moment of Survivor snuffing the torch doesn't make sense to me, but I don't know. They like to change things up and... Yep. It feels like every time they come up with a twist, I'm like, I don't know about this. And then they do it, and I'm like, great. Cool reward. You got fire tokens? Nice. How much are those worth?
I'd love to. I wonder if I could trade some of my Top Shot packs for fire tokens. Let's see if I can make that work. You just reminded me, guys, but my Survivor fix right now, because there is no new season of Survivor, I found this show on Netflix called The Bridge. Anybody heard of this show?
No.
Okay, let me just explain it really quick. It's sort of Survivor-like. It's a British production. I don't know where they are. Somewhere, obviously, in the wilderness of England somewhere. They're by a body of water. It appears to be like a lake. Bunch of strangers come together. I think there's maybe 12 of them. And they have 20 days collectively as a team to build a bridge to another island that has like 100,000 pounds on it.
Really?
And they can't row there and they can't swim there. They have to walk. They have to make a bridge and then walk there. And there's a bit of twists and turns happening and a bit of voting out and stuff like that. You guys, especially Trey and JD, might be interested in it. It's very different than Survivor, but it has elements of it.
Do they have any idea what they're doing? Like,
they know. Yes, they know that there's money there, but they don't know how it's ultimately going to be decided on who gets it.
No, I mean, do they know anything about building bridges? Like,
it's a classic. Like, this guy was in the military and built a bridge once, and like this person, has some experience, but there's a lot of them that don't. Yeah. But it's pretty cool. Like, what happens? Like, and they have to elect a leader and he has to make decisions or she has to make decisions and they go from there. I don't know. British people on reality television for some reason just so much funnier and so much they're so don't care what they say. Like, they don't hide anything. They don't keep anything close to the chest or to the vest. So is it close to the chest or the vest? Or both
close
work?
To the chest.
Yeah, I think both works, actually.
I thought it was vest because
it was
like a...
I thought it was vest as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it does go on your chest.
Keep your cards close to your vest.
To your chest. Like that. You might not be wearing it.
I mean, you do, but both work.
Like that.
Yeah. Your vest is on your chest.
Yeah. So watch The Bridge. Yeah, you have to be wearing it.
Is this the first season of The Bridge?
Yeah.
Are they moving into different things that they have to make? Like, that'd be a pretty cool series. Like, hey, we got 20 random people. Can you build a car?
Great question. I'm not sure if they are going to do this again. Or, yeah, that's a great point. Just a whole other challenge. Can you do this in 20 days? Let's see you do it. And they all live together, and there's dynamics of that. And there's, like, a little bit of, like, potential to, like, you can sort not backstab, but like you can take portion of the money without telling people if you want to be sneaky, and like it, you get that part of the game. That's good.
I'm in. You know me. You said British. I'm in.
Oh yeah, you're JD. You're gonna love this. I mean, again, it's Survivor like, and it's British reality television. Like,
perfect. The bridge.
Yeah. All right. Let's get this bonus bean question in.
Yeah, let's get this bonus bean question because it actually has some a Survivor element because. There's someone who lost some weight. So listen to this one. Good day, No Dunks. In paying homage to No Dunks Bean Week, I wanted to bring your attention to an Australian by the name of Bo Miles. He's a filmmaker and adventurer who recently made a documentary called The Human Bean, which is on YouTube. He loved beans so much that he decided to eat his body weight in beans, 85 kilograms, over a period of 40 days without consuming anything else. I watched a clip of this. It's amazing. He ended up eating 191 cans, and at the end of his experiment, he ran a 50-kilometer ultra marathon.
Oh, my God.
Because he's a runner. Yeah, he's a runner, and he wanted to run afterwards as well. So he chose 6 different varieties of beans and would take off all the labels so he would have a surprise every time he hit those beans.
Cool.
Yeah, I saw him just open a can. This man eats beans just in the wilderness, just rough. He just throws it on some wood. He just opens a can, throws it down, and takes it down off the wood.
He's not at home. He's like in the wilderness. He's camping.
I think that was just one time. I don't know. I haven't watched the whole thing.
Okay.
There's a question. To the question, beans aside, of course, if you could choose to eat only one food for 40 days or your body weight in that food, what would it be? Just a reminder, this is called The Human Bean.
Yep.
It's Bo Miles. It was interesting. I'm watching it. It's not a long documentary.
How do you not change your name to Bean Miles?
Oh, I know. He's just got to turn the U upside down and he's Bean.
Don't overthink it sometimes. Yeah. Okay,
it's from Will in Tasmania. By the way.
All right. So a bunch of beans. Well, we were talking about Trace Pickham loss being the bean bong. Possibility to just eat 191 cans instead if you want that right now.
No? Whole body weight in beans. That's a lot of beans.
That's a lot of beans.
He said, I just saw a real quick clip, but he just said his mind was going like he's losing his vocab. He just wasn't eating any carbs. So he was struggling and he's a runner and he said, you know, I was getting thin, he's losing weight.
Yeah.
But he also, couldn't run as well because, he just didn't have the energy and he ran an ultra marathon. Bean Miles.
He didn't really run an ultra marathon. He just kept farting and like kept
propelling himself.
Just propelling himself forward. Man. Well, boost, how much gas boost. Is in that doc? Holy crap. That's a good question though. If you had to eat one thing in your own weight, 40 days, Lee, anything come to mind?
It's hard to think of just that one food that you wouldn't just get sick.
You wouldn't go bananas?
Of. Yeah.
You would?
I mean, that's the easy. You know what? I'll go banoffee pie. There you go. One thing. I just eat the banoffee pies. That's an underrated British dessert. That's incredible. Yeah.
Okay.
40 days of pie. Yeah. You're a wild man.
What are you doing, Trey?
Are you allowing me to change the preparations?
Yeah.
Then give me potatoes.
Oh.
Shout out to all the people who make potatoes. There's a lot of different ways that you can eat them over 40 days.
Yeah.
Potatoes or eggs. It's potatoes or eggs for me. Sorry. Those are the only ones that I can think of that you can get enough variety from 40 days to be switching it up. You know, you could have a different form every single meal if you really tried.
Right. What's the heaviest thing you can eat? Like actual weight-wise. Like what could get me there the quickest by eating it in my weight?
The heaviest bread. Thing. Like a
raisins are very calorie dense.
Raisins?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm going nuggets. I mean 40 days, it's getting insane. I think I can do it 10 days, no problem.
10 days of nuggets, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's Nugget Month coming up soon. We'll celebrate that after Bean Week. Yeah, I'll go Nuggets. Task again, answer.
These people are good. These people are good in the stream team. They inform me the beans do have a good amount of carbs, actually. They're sort of on the borderline that you can have them in a low-carb diet. So thanks for that, stream team. I would go with chickpeas, which is also in here.
God.
I could slop some hummus for one meal and then just go straight chickies for another.
Go back and forth.
Yeah. Eggs is a good one, though.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Take a lot of eggs, though.
If you want to watch a good movie about beans, you can check out Game Changers. I think that's on Netflix, too.
Yeah.
I think Chris Paul was... And Lewis Hamilton, maybe the sort of
that's
like
right. executive producers.
Yeah, that's a really good movie. You'll be beaning up after that one for sure.
Bean me up, Scotty. good comment from Jared Dryden in the stream team, who brings up the fact that Papa John's once claimed to have eaten 40 pizzas in 30 days. Pizza's not a bad choice. Mm-hmm. You know, pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time. When pizza's on a bagel, you can have pizza anytime.
It's a personal pizza every time. That's right. Shout out to Matty O. All right, let's hear your answers. JD, if you got one, what type of food would you eat for 40 straight days in your own weight?
Yeah, I think it'd have to be eggs.
Yeah.
It's got to be eggs.
Good old egg man.
Eggs or Guinness, but Guinness would be easy. I'd go through that. It wouldn't take 40 days.
You could do it. You're going to do that tomorrow night during happy hour. Watch.
Yeah, I don't have any Guinness in the house. I think I'm going to Amstel Light tomorrow.
Okay, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, yeah.
All right.
Lee, let's go drink for drink tomorrow night. You, me, and Big Matt. Oh, okay. I wasn't supposed to say.
Oh, we got a big special guest rolling through.
Nah, it's good. It makes the people who listen to the whole show, they're getting a nice little treat here at the end. They're like, whoa, it's Big Matt.
Yeah, explain quickly for those that have no idea who we're talking about. Who's Big Matt, Lee?
Big Matt is an Australian friend who I met in England about 20 years ago, I think it was, when we first met. He's a mate of Big Triggs, and Big Matt and I went to Barbados together. We had a few days out drinking and partying, having fun, and I saw Big Matt and his wife Nicola and their two boys it's 2 years ago technically now when I was in London, caught up with them for the first time in a long time. So, he should be fun. I think you'll enjoy Big Matt. He's a pretty good storyteller.
Wait, I got many questions for Big Matt.
Yeah.
About you.
he'll answer them, don't worry. He's not going to be short of conversation, Big Matt. It's going to be, just to let you know, let's say we get on at, 9:30 Eastern tomorrow night. That's going to be 2:30 in the morning Manchester time where he lives. But he's up for it. I spoke to him before. He said, I'm up. I'm going to have a great night. I'm taking the day off work just in case it goes long. So Big Matt's in.
Jeez. All right. So Big Matt joining us for NBA Happy Hour Thursday night, halftime of the Heat Pelicans game. Join us then. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Thank you so much for sending in your questions and comments. Keep them coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Please like, comment, subscribe, share the YouTube show. We'd really appreciate it. Hey, if you listen to the podcast and you don't watch us on YouTube, that's fine too. But if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us that 5-star rating and review. 5-star Friday coming up at the end of the week, right, Trey? The start of the month. That's when you usually do it.
That's right. And I'm looking at the calendar now. It's going to be March 5th, the fifth day of the month, 5-star Friday. Oh, perfect.
Excellent. Excellent stuff. Go grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic, $3.99 a month, theathletic.com/nodunks, so they know that we sent you. Really fun show, great day at the Classic Factory, what you need to know from TASS, The Daily Show, and this one back tomorrow with two more bangers. We still have, are we doing Very Solid Play this week? We got a weird week here, Lee. Oh, he's not in a way, yeah. You better believe
it. I've actually got a little twist for you this week, Skeetsy. Just because I thought maybe we wouldn't do it, and then I thought, hang on, you know what? I'm going to just make it a little bit more spicy for Skeetsy this week.
Oh, God, great. I cannot wait to get angry on a stream with Lily in the next couple of days. Love it, guys. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, keep beaning, everybody.
Embrace the bean, people. You could stay.